success at the Supreme Court, much like the numerous other GOP election lawsuits that are pending in battleground states. But then again, those experts, they are just guessing. They are hoping.
With your host, Brad Friedman, and producer, Desi Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that that's one I'd rather not contemplate.
Correct. You are, as usual, correct, Desi Doyen.
Tune in to the Bradcast every Monday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 here on 90.7 KPFK FM and around the world at kpfk.org. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world. Sorry, Carl. A practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be back on the show with you and Carl and our special guest.
And from deepest Orange County, we welcome a man with more cool cars than I will ever see, but one of which I got a ride in. So I am grateful for that. Auto industry analyst for iccars.com, host of his own YouTube channel called Carl Brower Cars. It's Carl Brower. Welcome, Carl.
Woo! Hey, great being on with you guys once again. Looking forward to tonight's show. Sounds like we've got some exciting items and individuals on the docket.
That's right. We have an actual guest, an actual live guest. One of my favorite guys in the auto industry. Always a blast to spend time with. And the man who organizes Southern California's, I don't know, could we say Southern California's premier concours-style event? We'll talk to him about that in just a second. Aaron Weiss, welcome to The Car Show.
Pleasure to be here.
It's always glad to have you on the show, Aaron. We've had you on, I think, probably every year. How many years has this been going on, 15?
This will be our 14th year, and we're real happy to be here and happy to put on the show, and we got a great field of cars this year, and the gala, Symphony of Cars. We have almost 700 people coming, which is a record.
So this is all for charity, and the charities are, it's a great benefit to so many charities. I believe you concentrate on 5 Southern California charities. I don't know if you want to list them all, but I know the Pasadena Humane Society is one of them, the Rotary, San Marino Rotary Charities, and several others. So it's all for a good cause. How did you get the idea to start this San Marino Motor Classic held this Sunday in Lacey Park? How did it all start, Mr. Weiss?
It started when the Los Angeles concourse that was held at the Rose Bowl ceased to exist. And a bunch of us were sitting there talking about, we hadn't heard anything from them. And I was elected to make a call and find out what happened. And they decided after 5 years, they'd had enough. So I called the organizer and said, we'd like to take it over. And she sent me what I call a car show in a box. And it had all the information you needed, all of their past exhibitors, judges, sponsors, you know. And so we organized and went to the city of San Marino and were able to retain Lacey Park with the caveat that we would include a San Marino charity, which became Rotary Charities, San Marino Rotary Charities. My two co-founders were big donors to the Pasadena Humane Society, and we needed about 100 day of event volunteers, so we brought them in. And over the years, we've expanded to the 5. The others are Give Mentor Love, which is a foundation that rehabilitates young ladies who have been sex trafficked. We also have Cancer Support Community of the Greater San Gabriel Valley, and they offer counseling and programs for people with cancer and the family members that are caring for them. And finally, Shriners Hospital for Children in Pasadena.
those are all, they sound very worthy charities that this is supporting. So your $55 admission, folks, goes to, it doesn't just go to some rich guy sitting in an ivory tower somewhere. It goes directly to these wonderful charities. Aaron, what cars, one thing about the San Marino Motor Classic is that it has a vast array of different kinds of cars, just about anything you could expect to see at a car show. What are we going to see this year?
Well, this year we have an incredible class of post-war preservation. It was so popular, we had to divide it into two classes. So I'm kind of excited to see what is a group of cars that have been in families for decades, never restored in their original condition, and it could be anything. It's really a mixed basket of cars.
And last year, as you know, Aaron, a preservation car won Pebble, and just the month after Pebble, it won the Chanty concours outside of Paris. So a preservation cars seem to be very popular in the collector car hobby.
There is a trend, I think, in car shows where provenance will take precedence over restoration. So I think the history of the car and who owned it and why it was built and mechanical developments in the car will enhance a car's chance of winning over a car that's 100-point, absolutely perfect condition. And I think that was what was the message that Pebble Beach sent out a year ago when that Alfa Romeo won Best in Show, was that you don't have to have a perfect car, but the car should have some provenance or history. And that car certainly did.
All right. And then what else can attendees expect to see at the Motor Classic?
Well, there's 40 classes of cars. So there's everything from antique and brass, all the way, including we're celebrating the 50th year of the Ferrari 308. There is British, Italian sports cars, station wagons, which is kind of interesting. There's a Porsche class, two Porsche classes, two Ferrari classes, a pre-1978, and then a supercar class. So really, no matter what your interest is, whether you like Corvettes or Volkswagens, BMWs, or Japanese sports cars, we have a class for almost everybody.
And they, the location, Lacey Park, I believe it's 35 acres. And while the center of it is kind of out there and exposed, it's surrounded by leafy green trees. So there's plenty of shade. So you can dodge out, you can run out, see the cars out on the lawn, and then sneak back into the trees where there are still more cars. So it's, you know, people might be concerned a little bit about the heat, but I think Lacey Park is an entirely survivable option on Sunday.
It will be. We'll have two cooling tents. We'll have free water. There is an abundance of trees to provide incredible shade. So if you're in the middle of the park, it might be a little toasty, but around the perimeter where the trees are, we've placed the cars under a lot of trees. It should be pleasant. I would suggest coming in the morning. We open at 9 o'clock. So if you're there at 9 and you stay till 11, 12 o'clock, you'll probably be fine. I don't think we'll hit the high temperatures until probably 2-3 o'clock. We'll be done at 3 o'clock. Best in Show Award, historically, we've been able to present by 3 o'clock and everybody's home for dinner.
Now, the cooling stations, that's a new thing. What are they actually? Are they big tents with massive air conditioners, or what do those look like?
They're smaller tents with misters. So you can go under the tent and you're under the, you know, you're out of the sun and it's misting to kind of cool you off. And we have ice cold water and you should be able to refresh yourself. We'll have, I believe it's 9 gourmet food trucks for the general public. There is a VIP reception, which is a more gourmet lunch under umbrellas, serving adult beverages. So there's a little bit for everybody. I should say that children 12 and under are free. If you buy your tickets online before Sunday, they're $45, and that's going to SanMarinoMotorClassic.com. Ticket price the day of the event is $50.
Oh, 50. Okay. That's a bargain considering that Pebble Beach is almost $500 to get in. And you see a lot of cars from Pebble Beach at the San Marino Motor Classic, don't you?
Yeah, we will probably have at least a dozen cars that came down from Pebble Beach on display this year. And it really gives the show a different flavor. They're cars that people on the West Coast would not normally see. And some of them are sitting in my warehouse, and they're pretty amazing.
Okay. It sounds like a good show. I think I've been to every single one of them, and I always have a good time there. You come in to the main entrance there, you go to the right, and there are Brass Era cars, then the Porsches, then there are even a couple of Volkswagens. And out on the main lawn, you've got everything from American classics of the 50s, those big tuna boat cars, American cars from the 30s. And of course, right in the middle are all the beautiful Ferraris. It goes on and on and on. It's a fantastic collection of cars, a great show. And if you go online to SanMarinoMotorClassic.com, it's only $45. You can't beat that.
Well, we hope that we get a big turnout, and there's one other thing we didn't mention, and we have two classes of Pontiacs, a GTO class and a Firebird class, and you rarely see those cars at car shows, so it's going to be pretty amazing to see some really good Pontiacs out on the field.
Excellent. Yeah, I forgot to mention all the muscle cars. There's something for everybody, so there's really no excuse not to go there. The cooling stations, the water's free there, ice cold water. You're supporting good causes. And if you did not get to Pebble, you should get to San Marino Motor Classic. All put on through the hard work of course, many, many volunteers. But we all know secretly, you and I know it's Aaron Weiss who does it all. So thank you, Aaron, for all
thank
your work.
You.
And thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on the car show. And I will be there. In fact, my car... Do I slip you $20 to win my class? I have my Lancia Appia will be on the showgrounds, and who do I bribe?
Well, I bring me your American Express Black Card. We'll see if we can do some business.
I like this. I like how this works. All right, very good. Thank you again, Aaron Weiss, and we'll see you this Sunday at Lacey Park in San Marino, California. Okay. Aaron, I am going to unceremoniously, I have to actually kick you off in order to continue the broadcast. But you should go. You should take a nap or get some sleep or eat dinner or have a drink or something.
I'm ready to do all three.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Bye.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Aaron Weiss is off the air. He has left the building. Great guy. A lot of fun. If you see him out there, go up and say hello. He is always good to talk to.
And what class will your Lancia be showing in?
I didn't realize. Aaron said that it was a very popular class. I thought that nobody knew what in San Marino. I figured maybe nobody knew what a preservation car was. So, you know, I would at least get a podium, you know, a bronze, mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. So I entered the preservation class.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. Post-war preservation. I'm going to be going against, oh, man, there's no
way. Yeah, that's going to be a tough class, Mark.
Yeah, well, there's visible rust on the car, too, so.
Nice. Well, maybe that'll help.
Not going to do well. So, yeah, stop by, say hello to my car, and buy it off me if you want. Oh. All right. All right. We are moving along into the regular calendar section because that was still part of the calendar section there. And we are going to, let's see, what do we have? Michelle, take mm-hmm. us down to Dana Point.
Yes. Well, if you are south of San Marino and you aren't going to be able to make it up there, you could probably hit the Dana Point Classic Car Show. It's also going to be tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That one is free of charge. And unless you're going to enter a car in the show, you can just walk right up. This is an annual car show. It's down there right at the entrance to the Dana Point Lantern District. There are supposedly 10,000 people that show up every year. So 10,000 of your closest friends will be there. 50 vendors. The show itself, they limit the number of cars that can be shown to 325. So if you're listening right now, it's probably too late to enter your vehicle. But if you want to try, you could go to DanaPointCarShow.com to try and get registered. They will have food trucks, but they also have a lot of restaurants that are going to have tables out where you can sample things.
Okay, so, great.
All right.
Dana Point's a fun location anyway. Quickly, we've got something called the LA Rally Expo / Car Show Weekend. This is August 29th to 31st from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. at Alameda Night Market, 1123 South Main Street in Los Angeles. It is raising funds for fire victims. So expect a full mix of rides, they say, from lowriders to trikes and rally builds, all showcased in a space that feels more like a block party than a show floor. Carl, our Porsche expert, Carl Brower, is taking us to the next one. Carl.
Yes, exciting all Porsche show, all Porsche cruising at the Peterson Museum.
Peterson Publishing, where you used to work.
Yes, but I worked for so long, and so did so many others in this industry. But the museum lives on, despite Peterson Publishing being gone now. And it's a great location, as all three of us know, if you've ever been there. And you can enjoy a morning filled with hundreds of stunning Porsches, complimentary coffee and bagels. And you can take home an exclusive event poster to remind you of the day. And if you're just going to go to watch and look at Porsches, which is always fun, it's free. So you can't beat that. I think it even includes access to coffees and bagels as a free spectator. But you can get general admission tickets for going into the museum for $25. Make that part of your day there. And you also get one of those exclusive posters that they've got that they make every year for the show. And, of course, the coffee and bagels, too. And then if you want to actually put your car in the show, it's $35. And this is on August 31st. So you've got about a week to prep for this. And it's $35, $14, though, if you're a member of the museum, which plenty of people are. So get yourself to the Peterson Museum, especially if you're a Porsche fan, either as a show goer to watch or a show participant, and put your car there.
Very good. Thank you, Carl. If you like lowriders, there's going to be an event August 29th from 5 p.m. to 1 p.m. called the Laurel Canyon Car Show. It is not in Laurel Canyon in the same sense that you have that Echoes in the Canyon documentary where, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash and the Mamas and the Papas and Jackson Brown all wrote these great hits. It's actually down in the valley side. The address is 11509 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, San Fernando, California. Be a lot of lowriders there. So check that one out, or at least put that on your calendar. Now, if you are roasting from the heat and want to escape, this is not this weekend, but next weekend, there are two events. First one is called Cool Run in the Mountains, car and motorcycle show in Big Bear. Now, Big Bear, I looked it up, is at 6,752 feet. That's the lake. So you figure, you know, add another 20, 30 feet for wherever this car show is going to be. And it's on Saturday, August 30th from 9 to 3 p.m. The address is 42900 Big Bear Boulevard in Big Bear Lake. Try saying that five times backwards. It costs $35 to show your car there, but I think everything else is free. And then there's another cool car event also on August 30th at, it's called Run to the Pines, also high elevation, 5,500 feet. There's a location just west of Fraser Park called Pine Mountain Club. And that is sort of its own little government up there. And they all got together and put on this car show. So on Saturday, August 30th, you can show a car for $40 pre-registration. Take the 5 north out of town, exit Fraser Mountain Park Road, go west until you hit it. It looks like a lot of fun there. So,
hey, and Mark, you didn't say motorcycle all that time. There's a motorcycle component to the Cool Run in the Mountains in Big Bear. So cars or motorcycles need to get
cars up. And motorcycles. Thank you, Carl. That's why we pay you the big bucks to be on the show. Motorcycles are cool too. So yeah, you go up, what is that, 330 from San Bernardino up there. It's a good road.
Great motorcycle ride. Yeah, that's why I thought of it. It's like, take your bike up there, man.
Yeah, it's four lanes wide in a lot of it. So it's there's plenty of room to make a mistake. But don't make a mistake. Be careful, for goodness sakes. All right, what else do we have here? we have, who wants to do this one, the British thing?
Oh, I'll do that one. Right, so this will be our last one for this show.
Yep.
Boots and Bonnets is a British car show, of course, right? Because your bonnet is your trunk. That's how they say it in...
No, the bonnet is the hood.
The hood.
The boot is the trunk.
The boot, that's right.
Yeah.
My dad always used to say the boot. Okay. So, yeah, that's on September
13th. And
in German,
boot is the submarine. I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting. Please continue.
So this is the Boots and Bonnets front and back of the cars. British car show, September 14th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Autry Museum in Griffith Park. So all British cars are welcome. And their list that they have in their press info was Minis, Nortons, Land Rovers, MGs, Jaguars, Bentleys, Rolls-Royce, Triumphs, Aston Martins. The address is 4700 Western Heritage Way in L.A.
That's in Griffith Park, right across from the L.A. Zoo.
Yeah.
Why do they? Okay, here's a trivia question. Why do they not hold this show at night? Because Lucas makes headlights. Okay, thank you very much.
I was just going to say, does the show entry fee include a drip pan for underneath the vehicle's
hey, boy.
Yes, let's get all those.
Oh, you're
so mean here. Okay, Carl, just for that, you have to read the Dodge story.
Yes. Speaking of cars that never have problems, let's talk Dodge here. They were supposed to be nixing the V8 Hemi engines for the 2020s for everything. And so now we've got the 2026 Chargers. They both, the RT and the Scat Pack, will have the same 3-liter twin turbo Hurricane engine in line six, paired to the 8-speed automatic transmission, and will have all-wheel drive. Pricing for the new Chargers has been unveiled. It's $49,995. That's almost $50,000 for the RT and $54,995 for the Scat Pack. RT will make 420 horsepower, 468 pound-feet. Scat Pack will make 550 horsepower and 531 pound-feet. And remember, these are internal combustion powered. So all you not particularly happy Dodge folks that didn't like the idea of Fratzonic exhaust instead of real exhaust, you'll get real exhaust out of these. And then there's still some Hemis out there too. The Dodge Durango, they keep saying it's going to be the last model to have the Hemi V8, with both the 5.7 and the 6.2 liter supercharged versions are going to be available. And then Ram is supposedly bringing back the 5.7 Hemi V8. They've already said that for the 2026 Ram, saying it was going to go away. Now it's coming back. And I think everyone is happy about this. I still think at some point there'll be Hemis in more vehicles. I think there's been rumblings. I thought I heard rumblings that they basically admitted it'll be in the Rubicon, continued in the Rubicon Wrangler, which is just nuts that they put a V8 in that little vehicle. And maybe even in the Dodge Charger at some point in the future, I would like to think.
It seems like they are slowly realizing that the demand for, like, how many of those electric Chargers have they sold? About,
I think, like, three,
four, five. Yeah, who could have seen that coming? You know,
Mark,
our buyer.
Yeah, I was telling people, it's like, if you wanted to point to a brand and its buyer base that will be the most difficult to get crossing the electrified bridge to pure battery power, Dodge would be the brand. And thankfully,
electrified bridge. It sounds like the Rainbow Bridge. That's so.
It's right. It's the electrified bridge. You know, it's like the electric boogaloo, but it's the bridge.
All right. Okay, we don't support. Is that okay? Anyway,
okay.
It looks like
no more fighting.
The Hemi will be around for the foreseeable future and possibly beyond. I think that's what we can take away from this.
And Dodge's gonna rake in some money, I predict.
Carl, have you driven the Hurricane six cylinder? Anything?
I have.
Have you? Either of you?
Have you driven?
No.
What did you think of it, Carl?
It's good. I mean, you know, they knew they couldn't. They were supposed to get rid of the Hemis because all the regulations suggested they had to, and they couldn't just like be like, well, I guess we're just going to have lame drivetrains. So they made an extremely good effort to produce an extremely impressive alternative to the V8 Hemi with that Hurricane engine. So if you didn't know what was under there, how many cylinders and what the layout was, you wouldn't be like thinking, oh, this thing's slow or even has a bad exhaust note. It's a fine engine.
Which car did you drive with the Hurricane straight six in it?
The Ram. Yeah, it was in the Ram when I went on one of the press
trips. Pickup truck. Okay.
Yeah.
I should know this being a professional quote unquote journalist. Let's see. It is in, it's currently in the, RT and Scat Pack will have the 3-liter twin turbo, as you said earlier. So the Hurricane inline six will be available in those cars. And, we're kind of thinking here on the car show that that is a good engine and that the Hemi will be back. So, you know,
Dodge doesn't want to say the Hemi's coming back to the Charger when they've got everything set up to sell those Hurricanes, at least for a while. So they're not going to say, hey, guys, don't buy the Hurricane. Wait a couple of years and get the Hemi. I'm not going to say that. I might say that because I'm not Dodge, but they're not going to say that. So
I would like to drive one of those Hurricane powered RTs or Scat Packs. What kind of horsepower does anybody know what those things are making?
Similar to what you see here we've got it here 5,420 for the RT and 550 for the Scat Pack. So they're not small numbers.
Plenty.
Yeah, they're not small numbers. I mean, yeah. They're good. And remember, these things are much lighter than that electric one that already came out. So you lose a lot of weight when you jump out of the battery powered Charger. And 550 horsepower should be more than enough to keep it.
And it's a twin turbo engine. So, yeah, I mean, you add turbos to something, and then it's just a matter of tuning when you open the wastegate as to how much horsepower you want to make. So,
yeah, they're going to be good. But I want to drive one, too. I haven't driven one yet. So we'll both bug Scott Brown and try to get one.
Scott Brown, our good buddy. Scott, if you're listening, hello. Send us some cool cars.
Yes, by all means.
All right, Michelle.
I'll take the Durango. You guys do the other ones. So, okay. You guys, either of you, I know Carl does not, have a sticker to drive in the carpool lane.
We had stickers on our beautiful Mitsubishi IMEV. We put them on. That was when they were doing the white stickers.
Yeah.
With black letters on it. And those things have mostly fallen off, and I've tried to peel them off, and you're left with this sticker-shaped glop on the bumper of your otherwise beautiful Mitsubishi IMEV.
Sure.
So, yes, I know what you're saying, Michelle.
Yeah, well, that program has been around for 20 years. And so probably about as long as you had that Mitsubishi. But it's going away. The state of California has decided to sunset this thing. And the last day you can actually drive on the carpool lane with one of those stickers and not get a ticket if you don't have a person is September 30th of this year. So little heads up on that. And the last day you can order a decal if you want to try to, you know, get in this program for about a month is August 29th. So FYI, do not, you know, expect to not get a ticket. Although I have to say, editorializing, it doesn't seem like this was all that enforced. I don't know about the carpool lane, and I don't think the CHP really worried all that much about who was driving in the carpool lane. But in any event, if you had an extra person in the car, you could drive in the carpool lane. But this program was to help people to be encouraged to buy either an EV or a hybrid or an alternative fuel vehicle. And it was one of those things California did to try to cut down on emissions. So now after September 30th, it's going to be just back to the usual carpool crowd in the carpool lane.
With two or more people in the car.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And
it
worked, by the way. I know multiple people who bought electric cars, not because they were necessarily fan of electric cars, but because it was literally life-changing for them because of their commute and having those carpool stickers. Mm-hmm. So beyond the increased amount of CO2 being pumped out by not having those leveraged as much, there's actually a functional benefit that's going to be lost. And there's going to be a lot of disappointed people when that happens.
I think, I would not be against if they did it in such a way that, like, I don't know, there was a way for you to do this. Like, my Mitsubishi IMEV is a very efficient car, but I have no benefit and stopped having that benefit with after the 2 years that we had the stickers. Now, I don't, thank goodness, don't have to commute a million miles through terrible traffic. So, but there are people for whom this would be a big benefit, and they would be willing to have some kind of zero emission car, but it's just not out there. So the incentive is removed for a lot of buyers. I think that's unfortunate. And I think I've complained about this also. You could buy like a huge BMW 5 Series that was a hybrid or something, and that would get you a sticker. It was administered inefficiently, in my opinion. Okay, I'm stepping off of my soapbox, and let's move on. Michelle's going to take us to Vegas, baby.
Oh, yeah. So Formula One, it's coming up. They do the race again. I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, this is a 10-year deal that Formula One contracted with the city of Vegas. And I think we're in year 3 or 4 now. But for the first time in the run, single-day tickets are being offered for sale. And used to be in the first, well, the first three, I'm going to go with 3 years because in my brain, I think it's 3 years. You had to buy tickets for all 3 days. So now you can get a single ticket. And they started at $140. And they started selling already on August 14th. Race weekend is November 20th. That's a Thursday through Sunday, the 22nd.
Thanksgiving. Do we know anybody who is planning to go to Vegas to see this?
Not me.
I mean,
I don't know anybody. And, I mean, it's nice that they're offering $140 tickets, but I don't know. I wonder what it's going to be like. You know, will the international crowd be able to get through the airport, you know, through the immigration thing? Is that keeping people away? I just wonder what's going to happen here. I have not seen the race myself in person, so I can't really pass judgment. I've been there like just before and just after, so I've seen the track, and it looks very narrow, and it looks like you can really see a lot of
Do they have those manhole covers secured? Because I remember hearing about that.
They had a big incident in qualifying last year where the manhole cover was not secured and it dragged a qualifying vehicle and it screwed it up underneath. So yeah, they better fix that up. The locals hate it because of the disruption. But now I guess after 3 years of doing it, the infrastructure is a little more in place. And Vegas is, from what I'm hearing, a ghost town because people don't want to travel, like you were saying. And they do really rely on a lot of international travelers. You could probably wait a little bit and get some awesome deals if you really want to go with your favorite hotel group or whatever. They usually offer hospitality packages for race weekend. So wait a little bit. Don't get it quite yet.
I think a lot of people saw it as just a big money grab. And, you know, this is speculation on my part, but the city or whoever thought, oh, we'll just make a ton of money off this. I will reference once again my crummy little apartment at USC. During the 1984 Olympics, there were fights among the roommates as to who got the most money that we were all going to make by wealthy European tourists who would want to rent out our apartment during the Olympics. That nobody wanted to rent out our crummy apartment during the Olympics. And so anyway, maybe
now you're saying nobody wants to rent out a crummy hotel room in Vegas too. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that.
Well,
that was possible.
I mean, another comment I could make is that it seemed like it was a lot of corporate that were taking up all the tickets and the hotels. And so it's a wine and dine experience. You take people a race weekend and,
it could be
on the corporate account, right?
Last year I was offered a room at the Wynn and I turned it down. I just didn't want to hassle going to Vegas. I personally, God bless you if you like Vegas, but I personally just can't stand being there. And so I don't know. I think maybe motorsports fans are different. We'll see what happens. Let's not throw cold water on it. Instead, let's go back to mocking electric cars just so that we keep Carl happy. We're skipping down. Chevy came out with this absurd claim that their Silverado EV, now that's the full-size pickup truck, you know, the headlines and what everybody wrote is that the thing drove 1,060 miles on a single charge, breaking, in quotation marks, a world record. All right. Now, this reminds me, Carl, you're old as I am. You might remember a company called BAT, Battery Automated Technologies. This was in the early, 90s, that would come out with these absurd claims about, you know, how many miles they could get out of their little battery electric car, which they never produced in any numbers that would be, in my opinion, worth calling, production. But they had similar things where they would go 20 miles an hour and record something. Now, these guys have done just that, going between 20 and 25 miles an hour, which is just absurd. The Silverado EV was optimized for range, including adjusting the wheel alignment. Now that makes sense because most cars, the wheel alignment is, I think, towed in a little bit at the front and towed out a little bit at the rear. If you aim it all four wheels exactly straight ahead, you get a lot less resistance. I can see that making sense. They raised the tire pressures, they lowered even the windshield wipers, and they put a tonneau cover to improve aerodynamics, and they came up with a range of over 1,000.
Oh, such details, Mark. I mean,
all the things that I would do if I bought a Silverado. What's the problem, Mark?
For instance, like the camber alignment, I think, why not make it, you have active steering on a lot of cars. It seems there are suppliers who provide this and it can be done fairly easily. Why not have some kind of camber kit where if you're going in a straight line down the freeway, it adjusts the camber so that the wheels are going straight. I mean, that'd give you, 10, 20 more miles range. And then when you turn the steering wheel or do something with the steering wheel, the engineers could figure this out. Then you put the camber back in.
I think part of the problem with that is, as a total make-believe wannabe engineer here, is that when the wheels are going straight on the front of the car and not without any toe in on either side. And again, we're talking slight here. It's not like the car goes down the road looking pigeon-toed and all, but it's a slight, you can't see it with just looking at the car. They're slightly pointed in because when you change lanes on the freeway and there's different lines or crossing or different types of things, the wheels will start to grab those things and potentially the car can get a little squirrely when you're traversing different types of pavement or different lines, expansion joints and stuff like that are on the freeway, and the lines that you often see, they're running right along where the dotted lines are in between lanes. You don't want the car's front end to be able to follow those things easily. So the toe end does that. So if you had, even if you were going totally straight and you had the wheels totally straight and you weren't changing lanes, we've all seen this where they've added lanes or they've shifted the lanes over without turning your wheel at all. You're staying between the dotted lines. You're changing what were former lanes and you're changing slabs of concrete and you're changing textures and all that. And the thing can start to grab them and try to steer the car. So,
yeah. And you're right, Carl. You said toe, not camber. It's toe, camber, and rake, right, trail and all these other things. But I think in my monkey brain, I am not anywhere near an engineer. Carl's actually a little bit closer to engineer status than me, but that software could identify when that was happening. Okay, I think maybe we should put a blanket moratorium on engineering cars while on the air.
Yes, okay. Engineering discussion here. We're just going to give people bad information and waste a lot of time. But anyways.
No, we're making suggestions to engineers who listen.
And in the meantime, who does hold the record is Lucid, because they actually did a legit test and they went 493 miles. No, they went more than that, 700. Sorry,
749.
Get the number 749, and that was just a few weeks before the Chevy thing.
Yeah, and that is a legit production car that you can buy, and they didn't modify it, right?
I mean, they didn't screw up its stability at high speed with toe adjustments. So
it was the Air Grand Touring model.
Grand Touring Air, okay. Yeah, Michelle, tell us what Ford did. Speaking of EV trucks.
Ford, all right. So this is local, actually. Ford opened up a new campus, basically, in Long Beach. Mercedes has a kind of a little thing that they rehabbed a an aircraft facility to work on. Actually, if you have an old Mercedes, you can take it there and they'll fix it up for you.
Yeah, the Mercedes Classic Center in the old Douglas, or was it just Douglas? It was just Douglas.
I think it was
right
Douglas.
There in Long Beach. Huge building. They use most of it for, you know, storing new cars as they ship them out to dealers. But the Mercedes Classic Center is just a really impressive facility.
It is. I've been lucky enough to get to go there. But Ford has actually done something similar. And they're opening up an EV truck or EV. What they want to do here is produce in mass production mode, like the Model T, produce EVs. And so the first thing they want to talk about doing there is their EV truck, which could be their Eldorado that they keep teasing to come back. And it sounds like, okay, why would Ford do this? Because this is totally out of step with what everyone else is doing, right? Everyone else is saying, yeah, we were going to do all EV, but now we're dialing that back or going hybrid instead. Well, Ford is still bound by a contract with the state of California before all this stuff happened that requires them to produce EVs. And there's really nothing that anyone can do about it.
Even in these times when all laws are thrown out the window,
I was just going to say, Michelle, contracts, contract, and all. Contracts aren't actually legally binding, are they?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no EPA anymore, essentially. So who's going to enforce this?
I know.
Anyway.
So, they'd actually get in trouble if they breached it. But there are other car makers that are also on the same hook. BMW, Honda, Stellantis, Volkswagen, and Volvo.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
All right. Yeah,
so they have to keep losing money on electric cars because of a con. I mean, they have to keep. Sorry, I have to keep making electric cars because they signed a contract. Okay.
Carl, could you do in like 1 minute the Porsche item?
I can do that. I can be fast like the Porsches. Officially confirmed in the first half earnings call from Porsche recently, talking to shareholders about a hybrid 911 Turbo S that'll debut later this year and will go on sale in 2026. Spy shots captured it at the Nürburgring. And it showed two test mules wearing the mandatory yellow hybrid decals. This will be the 992.2 Turbo S, and it'll utilize the T-Hybrid system that they're already utilizing for the GTS that people have experienced and liked a lot. And it'll have electric assistance to make the most powerful production 911 ever. The gearbox integrated electric motor will eliminate turbo lag. It is expected to reach close to 700 horsepower. 700 horsepower Porsche 911, Mark. What do you think?
I'd be happy to have that. So as you step up to, you know, maybe you want to get rid of your old, what do you have, a Turbo S? You have a Turbo S?
I know. Mine's only got 530 horsepower.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to step up to that, I will graciously store your old Turbo at my house, you know, under a...
Yeah.
You're a team player, Mark. I like that.
I take one for the team all the time. Okay, speaking of that, Carl and I both went to Pebble Beach last weekend, and here is our report. Carl did it the right way. He was pampered. I believe, Carl, weren't you guys carried around in sedan chairs by sorority girls?
No. We had those things. I don't know what they were called, the royalty in Egypt, you know, where you have like people holding up the pole.
That's a sedan chair. It's called a sedan chair.
Is that it? Okay. Yeah. So we were carted around.
in Egypt.
It was just short of that. But I'm going to tell you, as a first time guest of Lamborghini at the Monterey Car Week and Pebble Beach and the Quail and all the fun things, it was pretty amazing. Not the least of which was the fact that they gave me a Lamborghini Revolto to drive up there. And I still don't know what it costs. They have to get me the Monroney. But I know that the base price on that model is $608,000. And you never see a Lamborghini with less than about $80,000 to $100,000. And that's for the poor Lamborghini buyers. They stop at about $80,000 to $100,000.
Poor Lamborghini buyers.
Yeah, the guys who are trying to be, you know, careful with their money. I would be shocked if the one I was in, it was pretty loaded with options, I could tell, was less than 720. So anyways, it was a $700,000+ car for sure that I drove up and back. And
what route did you take? Did you take a fun route up and back?
No, it blew. You know, I got the car the day before. It was all very last minute. I mean, again, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you what happened. It was Tuesday of the week before. It was Tuesday of Car Week when a lot of people are already driving up. And they're like, hey, Carl, we got an open slot that opened up. Do you want to go to Car Week in a Lamborghini Revolto? And it was like, I think you're supposed to say yes to these questions. So I drove it up, but I had to get there and it was a rush. There was a fire by Smoky Bear Road, you know, by Fraser Park or one of those car shows we were talking about.
Yeah.
And it took forever to get there. It was such a boring route up. And then once you get there, it was the worst traffic. You were there, Mark, I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was by far the worst traffic ever experienced. Now, the Ducati offered me a motorcycle, but they offered
should have taken it, man.
I should have taken it.
That's the only way. I mean, it's the traffic there. You'll hear, oh, yeah, traffic's always there. Yeah, it is always bad there. It was way worse than it normally is always.
Yeah, I heard there was a guy, we were doing something, and there was a guy who got, he said it took him 2 hours to get from Pebble Beach to Carmel, which, you could walk there.
It's like a mile. Four miles.
It's by far the worst traffic ever. And I think I blame the hyper supercars. How about that?
Yeah.
Carl had all those rich,
you know, Wuddles driving their $700,000 plus cars at like 0 to 10 miles an hour.
One thing that those guys did was they tried to hold an impromptu car show on 17 Mile Drive, the part where it's just out there in the fields overlooking the ocean. They shut it down. They parked their cars like perpendicular to the flow of traffic. And they just said, we're going to have a car show. And the CHP came pretty quickly and said, no, you're not. And got them all out of there. And then they shut down 17 Mile Drive for non-residents of the peninsula there. So I think those guys are out of control. I don't know. There was an event called Exotics on Broadway, which has been around a while. They are now charging money to get into that, to get into part of it. And I saw the lines for the shuttle buses to get there. It looked like the evacuation of Stalingrad. You know, it was.
No, and I heard very unhappy because like a lot of families, you know, used to just be able to walk through that show. And so all these families that were thinking it was, you know, going to be another cool way to show the kiddies exotic cars. And they get there and there's this big chain link fence running all up and down the Broadway street and all. And like, you know, I didn't even go like you. I was like, yeah, I'm not even going near that thing because I knew it was going to be a mess before I heard about it. But from people who were there, it was like, you know, there were these people. It's like their hands, like it's like a prison situation. Their hands are on the fence and they're looking through. One of the guys I knew, there were dads handing their phones over the fence to my friend so he could take photos of cars for them and hand it back over the fence to the kid.
Hey, that's a good business. You could make a lot of money stealing phones. Yeah, I'll take a picture for you. Next year, Carl, let's do it. Money-making scheme. All right, but Carl, you went to the Quail. I did not get to the Quail this year. How was that this year?
The Quail is fascinating to me, Mark, because it has become the new auto show. Like, to me, it's probably the most interesting and has the most vibrant all-new model introductions of any car show in this country now. And that's just crazy because for a long time, you know, it was Detroit with things like Los Angeles and New York and maybe Chicago trying to take up second, third, and fourth place. None of those shows, including Detroit, yes, I'm saying this out loud if you hear me 2,000 miles away, including Detroit, have anything like the Quail now. The Quail has 6, 7, 10 major manufacturers showing off cars. And it finally struck me, I should have figured this out years ago, but eventually I get there even when I'm a little slow. Think about it, Mark. What normally was at all the car shows you and I went to for a couple of decades? A bunch of journalists covering the show. Well, of course, there are car shows. That was all that was there. Neither Mark or I can buy most of these cars that we're seeing at these things. You go to the Pebble Beach weekend and you go to Quail, you get all the same journalists. I was there, all bunch of journalists covering it just like you'd expect, and a bunch of rich people who can buy the cars. So they're killing two birds with one stone when they introduce cars. They get all the media all wound up and doing all their posts, social media and all the traditional places, and they get lines of people writing checks and putting deposits down as soon as the cars are introed. So it's a much better deal for the manufacturers, and the traditional auto shows can't compete. So it was a very active show with a lot of going on.
It has become the Geneva Motor Show now, is
yes.
The Quail. It really is. So, all right. Were there any interesting cars there that you saw?
I mean, you know, there was like the new Acura 100% battery powered. It was the RSX thing or whatever and all. It was that big kind of SUV thing. And then a lot of the cars that they show at Quail were on the concept lawn. And I'm just going to say this because it was funny, even though it's kind of mean. You go to the concept lawn and you've been there, Mark. There's just people mobbing the outside. It's a circle. It's like a roped off area. It's like a green, a practice putting green. And there's all the cars on the green. And then there's a circle of rope around it. And you can walk around the outside of the circle and all the cars are up against the rope. So you can see them, but you have to walk around the outside of the circle. I'm walking the outside of the circle and there's a group of people at every car. There's like 18 cars, I'm going to say conservatively, 15 cars there, lying in this thing. And I'm walking the thing. And then there's this one hole where there's no people. The rope is right there. The vehicle on the other side is right there. And it's like this hole in the, you know, in the people lined circle. There's no people. It was the Acura RSX. So it wasn't pulling my thing. I really felt almost bad for it. Almost, but not really, because Sam, it's a Fury V.
We'll never get an ad from Acura. Wait a minute. We don't get ads from anybody.
No. All right. It was pretty painful to see.
All right. I went to three events when I was up there. The first one was my favorite event up at the Pebble Beach weekend. It was the Concours des Lemons, which is sort of the anti-Pebble. It's the ugliest cars in the world. And by golly, don't we enjoy seeing them? I'll rattle off a couple of really fun ones that I saw, so I won't take up too much time on this. A guy had a Mercedes-Benz S500 that he had jacked up and put big wheels and tires on it. He has driven that in four of the Gambler 500s. Gambler 500, of course, is like a sort of an off-road rally for insane people. That worked out well. There was a really cool Mercedes-Benz 407D that the guy said used to be an ambulance. And he converted it to, it was a four-cylinder, huge van. He converted it to a camper. He was there. That was just a cool car. I don't know why that was considered a Lemons car. There are a lot of cars there that should not have been Lemons. There were a couple of brothers, the Aragon brothers. They had a 63 Mercury Monterey. That's the one where the glass in the back glass goes down, recedes down. And they just got it from a friend of theirs in Bakersfield. And it runs just fine. There was a guy with an 86 Suzuki Samurai that had been rolled. His friend rolled it. The windshield popped out. The roof was all messed up. So he said, I'll buy that from you. And so he put in a plexiglass windshield. That was kind of cool. There was a Daimler SP250, which I think is the ugliest car ever made. Maybe after the new Fiat Multipla, but boy, that Daimler, it's this little dinky car with these huge tail fins on it. It's just absolutely unforgivable. There was a Ford Maverick Grabber, which was a trim line of the Maverick. Let's see. A guy named Chris Wallard built the Galaxy Glider, which looked like a flying saucer.
Yeah, and that actually won Worst in Show. I'm looking at the photo right now. Yes, it won Worst in Show. Mm-hmm.
I had to cut out as too soon from that show. But so that was a lot of fun. The only thing I will say about Concours des Lemons, it's held on the lawn in front of the city of Seaside City Hall, and there's just not enough room there. They have to come up with a much bigger venue for it. It's always just way packed. And I think they do that because they probably get it for free or something. I don't know. I also went to Concorso Italiano that same day on the Saturday, and I was really impressed. That event has been through a lot of owners and a lot of ups and downs. It is on an up right now. It looks really cool. They got some really nice cars. There were old Lamborghinis, old Maseratis, old Ferraris, little Alfa Romeos, a ton of Di Tommaso Panteras. There were just so many really nice cars at Concorso Italiano. So if you're planning for next year, let's hope that it is as good as ever. We have 5 minutes to go on the show. Carl, we both went to the Pebble Beach Concours, right?
Yes.
What was your take on the Concours this year? Pebble Beach, that's the granddaddy. That's the whole thing. It all leads up to that. That's the climax, so to speak, of the entire week of car events. What was your take on this year's Pebble Beach Concours, Carl?
Well, I think the impressive thing to me, sadly, not from a cargo point of view, no one's going to like this, but it was sunny, Mark. Did you see that? It was like sunny.
When the sun came up. I had SPF 50 on and a hat.
Gosh. You know, I mean, anyone who knows San Francisco or that northern or central, I guess it's really more south,
that
part of the coast, is just constantly socked in.
Yeah.
And I have never been, I don't think, to a Pebble Beach where the sun was rising over a cloudless sky. Okay, sometimes it's cloudless by 7 if you're lucky. Usually it's cloudless sometime between like 10 and noon. But it was, you know, dawn patrols going on as always before the sun's even up, and the sun is coming up over a completely blue cloudless sky as the light shines down on all these cars as they're driving in. So that I had never seen before. So I thought that was pretty crazy. But with regard to the actual cars, I'm a huge fan of that torpedo vehicle that won. I mean, that thing was cool looking, Mark.
Yeah, 1924 Hispano Suiza H6C Newport Astra Torpedo, commonly known among collector cars as the Tulip Wood Torpedo, because it is a wooden car, and it's not like a Woody where you have like a metal frame around some parts and some fenders are metal. This is all wood. Imagine a gigantic cigar or a hot dog and with two seats in the middle of it. It is a lot of people like that. And I arrogantly said, no, it's going to be the Keller's Mercedes, because he had a 540K, I think a 39 540K, which fit all the parameters of previous winners at Pebble. It had long, swoopy. It was a mid-30s European car. Usually they're French, but they like the Mercedes too. Had long, swoopy fenders. It had the little two-seat cockpit in the back. It was glorious and glamorous, but I think that the idea of beauty among car collectors has evolved, and it's no longer that recipe. It's changing into something new. As we all know, last year, we mentioned this earlier in the show, last year a preservation car won the Best in Show. So the definition of beauty has gone from this 100-point scale to something that just it just grabs your eye, and it looks cool, and it's fun and goofy. And this was the guy who did this one. It was his second win. He said Lee Anderson is his name. And he, you know, he's like about 19 feet tall. Everybody's standing around him. He's towering over all of us. It's a good thing this car did not have a roof, because he would not have fit inside. But he, you know, he's a good guy. I like talking to him when he won before. And, you know, he's straightforward, gives you all the answers. I talked to the guys at RM Sotheby's. It has this car has 10,000 rivets holding it together, all those strips of wood. It's mahogany wood, and they put it in, they hammered it in into what they called plywood. But of course, at the time that this was made, I don't think plywood had been really mass produced. So they made their own plywood. The guy who did the wood told me that the plywood was made out of cow's milk, which was used as glue to hold these things together. There were probably other elements to the substance, but it was a lot of cow's milk and a lot of rivets holding this thing together. And they had to replace.
You see that interesting story you just told, and it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. You know, it's the car's got a cool story behind it. It's not just about what the car looks like or how much money was spent restoring it to perfection. It's this interesting engineering exercise, you know, from the time frames, from the time period. So
yeah, it was good. It was cool. So we had a good time, didn't we, Carl, up there?
We did. I mean, and like I said, it was last minute.
We got 30 seconds to go here. So
I wasn't going to go this year. I was all ready to have a nice, quiet, productive week and get things done. And then, you know, Lamborghini calls with a $700,000 car to drive up. You know, it's like, no, I don't
know why they called you and not me. I'm going to have words with them.
That's a whole other show, Mark.
Why did you offer to take us? He didn't offer to have a co-driver.
I do. Okay, we have 10 seconds left. We want to thank you for listening to yet another fantastic car show. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black music that sounds great on your car audio, and it really does. And we will see you next week here on the car show.
Support comes from Wilgear Theatricum Botanicum, presenting outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages this June through October 2025. Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, along with Much Ado About Nothing, Strife, The Seagull Malibu, Wine in the Wilderness, and a world premiere, Echoes of the New World. The Theatricum is located in the heart of Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway. Explore and picnic in the gardens before the show. Further information is available at www.theatricum.com and kpfk.org.
my car broke down. This is quite unfortunate.
If that old junker in your driveway is a lost cause, get rid of it and help KPFK out in the process. It's as simple as calling 877-KPFK-AUTO and asking the operator to assist you in arranging for a pickup. We'll tow it away, and we'll mail you all the necessary paperwork for writing it off of your taxes.